the front. Let's get ready to worship. Let's get ready to worship. Come on.
The Lord. Good morning, everybody. We still have a bunch of people still eating ice cream or salad, I mean. It's a great day. It's Welcome Home Sunday. We're so glad that you're with us. We have folks. In fact, the gentleman who won the car last night is here with his beautiful bride, all excited. And so I just want you to know today is a very relaxed day. We're going to have some salad after service. For those who haven't been here much, it means ice cream. Have some salad after service, relax together, and just have a great family day. So there's no greater family than the family of God. And the opportunity this morning we have to worship Him is awesome. So let's take the moments, let's take the time, and love our daddy. Turn to someone and say, I sure love my Father in heaven. So let's worship Him this morning, enter into the presence of God, and let Jesus change our lives.
The glory above the nation.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
on my trail. I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day. I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
You know that this means war.
This means war.
I'm going on to war.
This means war.
Come on, sing. I got joy. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail. That's singing all is well. He's attacking every day. I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
You know that this means war.
This means war.
We're going on to war.
This means war.
I'm in the storm and the rain, but the blood still stays the same. But am I going wrong? My world goes wrong. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
You know that this means war.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Come on, let's sing verse 2 again. I've been the storm and the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever is going wrong, my world flows around. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
You know that this means war.
This means war.
I said I'm going on to war.
This means war.
Come on, church, let's plead the blood. Blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
I plead the blood.
It's healing in the blood.
I plead the blood.
I thank you for the blood.
I plead the blood.
It's healing in the blood.
I plead
victory
the
in the blood.
I plead
nothing
the
but the blood.
I plead the blood.
Cause this means.
This means war.
This means war. This means yesterday.
This means war.
I'm going on to war.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Here we go. Come on. You can't let my family.
You can't let my family.
Nah, you can't. Victory! gonna fight the battle. Come on, take me on out of here.
Spirit, break out, break out. Heaven, come down, see with me. Spirit, break out, break out, break out. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out, break out. Heaven, come down. Sing it one more time with me. Spirit, break out, break out. Break all walls down, break all walls down. Spirit, break out, break out. Heaven, come down.
Jesus.
Lift those hands. Father, we welcome you into this place. We desire to abide. You desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer unto you this praise. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name. Anytime you welcome anyone into your home is never cluttered, but you clean up your house. As we're worshiping God, if there's anything that's there and you need your house to be cleaned up, I'm asking you now in the spirit realm, let's clean up our houses. We lift our hands to the King of Kings. He is a holy God and he is righteous and true. We bless you in this place, Almighty God. You're holy. You're holy. 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 Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Who worthy is the Lamb? Who worthy is the Lamb? You are
holy.
Let's go, holy.
Holy.
Are you, Lord? hands and worship him.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. God is good. Amen. As an individual here, you feel like your heart, it's almost like flipping. Your heart is like flipping. I don't know if it's just out of whack or out of pace, but that's how the Lord brought it to my spirit. It's almost like it's flipping. If that's you, God's going to heal you this morning. In fact, if that's you, I'd like you to come up front. I want to pray for you myself. As another individual that you're not, how do I say this right? It's not that you don't love God, but you're not a strong believer. And you've been hearing voices lately. I'm talking like you actually stopped this week and turned around. And God's going to deliver you today. That's a spirit trying to deceive you. And we're going to bind that up. There's another individual on the top of your left side of your jaw. You're having problems with one of your teeth right up in this area. God's going to heal you as well. There's another person, one more person that I just sent to my spirit. It's almost like someone punched you under the right arm right here. And that's sore. It's sore even to the touch. And God will heal you this morning. If you have any of those things that I just called, I want you to meet me right here this morning. And Pastor, if you'll just sing hallelujah and bring us right in again the presence of the Lord. If that's you, just come right on over on this side, please. Right over here. Don't listen, if it got called out, God never reveals unless he's going to heal. So you don't want to stand in your seat. If God said he's going to heal you, he's going to heal you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship.
He's holy. Everyone lift it up and say, holy. Stay with me. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just sense pockets in the room of the Lord just pouring out his anointing in certain pockets. Father, I just thank you right now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, no man can fake it or make it. It's only you. Lord, I just release right now, Lord, even that, I just see my spirit, that little funnel, God, of outpouring of your spirit in that little spot, Lord, to bring healing, restoration, encouragement, and strength right now. Lord, I just release that anointing in the name of Jesus. Father, will stir in their hearts. Lord Jesus, we love you. We don't have a show for you. Because you could care less what it looks like on the outside. You only care what matters on the inside. So God, I thank you that you are able to hear us. Lord, your word says that you look to and fro to those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just wanted you to know without any question, without any reservation, Lord, you don't need to look any further. We love you. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you that today we can stand here not in the figurative presence, but the literal presence of a holy God. Lord, the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." But Lord, they're called to do that. And Jesus, we want you to know we do it with our own hearts. Holy. Oh, come on, tell them how holy he is. Holy, holy, holy. We love you. We love you, Father. Thank you for the honor. Oh, God, what would it be like if you just, for one millisecond, opened up even a minuscule portion of heaven in this room this morning? God, what would happen? I'm reminded when you appeared to John the Revelator. He fell on his face as dead. With Isaiah, when he saw you, as your train filled the temple, he fell and just declared, "Holy. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can bring this revelation to us. The only one who can make it so powerfully real to us. Take us out of, Lord, where we are, and take us to a place of freshness in seeing you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Lord, if nobody else in the room needs you, I do. I need you, Lord. Lord, that song, "Every Hour I Need You," Lord, I sing it every day because I recognize, Jesus, my life is not my own, and I need you every hour. So, Lord, I just pray that this house will be known as not just a church, not just a growing church, not even just an outreach church. But, Lord, I pray that your body here will be known as people who know God. Know you, not just know about you, Father. And that we'll step into a new place of relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Oh, can we sing that? I love that song. Oh, sing it with me. Sing it to the Father this morning. Come on, close your eyes, lift your hands. Don't sing to anybody. If you can't sing, it doesn't matter. Sing to the Father. Let him know this morning. Oh, sing it with all of your heart. I need thee.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior.
I one more time with all of your heart. Sing it real loud. Let's bless heaven.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless.
There's no safer place than that right there. When we actually come to that song's place, I mean, we're actually there. Everything you need is taken care of. Man, I tell you. Have you ever hugged your wives and you hear them go, not out of disgust. I'm talking like, they just get that, and you feel them kind of slump in your arms. And that's because it's safe. It's safe. And when the Lord hugs us, when we surrender to Him, it's safe. Everywhere in the world might be dangerous, but it's safe in the everlasting arms of God. I just love that. I don't know. I hope you don't mind. I babble sometimes. But this is really what I just sense. The person that felt that had that like sensation, actually felt to me like a punch on the side of your rib on your right-hand side. You didn't come up. I just want to let you know how I know what that is and how I know that these are what we call words of knowledge found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Literally in my physical body, I know what I have coming into a service. And what will happen is I'll actually feel a literal, not figurative, but a literal pain in my body where that pain is. And it was amazing because during worship, I felt it. And I said, Lord, okay, I got you. I said, you can take it away now. And I want you to know that you didn't come up. And why is it important that when a word of knowledge is released that you respond to that? Because you and I, even though God reveals it, God wants to heal it because He won't reveal unless He's going to heal. There is a step of faith that you have to take. You have to step out in faith and receive. Remember, every single one that went to Jesus for healing walked away with it. But He only went up to one. He only walked up to one. And that was at the pool of Bethesda. All the rest of them came to Him. So you have to exercise faith. So when you hear a word of knowledge that identifies in your spirit. The early first service, I had some words of knowledge that were very private stuff. And a lady responded and God healed her. He loves to heal you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves to heal you. And it's the truth. He loves to heal you. And so today, as you go back to your chairs, why don't you welcome five or six people and say, you know, Jesus wants to heal you today. Everybody has a need, no matter what it is, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical. Everybody needs healing. Go find some folks who you don't know this morning. Don't sit down. Don't sit on your hiney. Go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. Jesus wants to heal you today.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never.
Seconds. Everybody stand. Just turn around and say good morning. We'll get you to be social one way or the other. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want to give great testimony. Videos. We got a large buzz.
I never will forget.
Are you new to the church thing? Or maybe you just started your walk with Jesus and you're wondering what to do now. And you would like to go to the next level. Next steps is what you need.
In each step enables your advancement in creating a new lifestyle for you. Step one will be the foundation, which gives you solid ground for step two, which is the building process.
Growing into step three, expanding your ability to reach step four, ultimately fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life, living in full victory.
Pastor Dean, how can people get involved in the Next Steps program?
It's very simple. We're implementing the program now. We can get people started right away. So make sure you stay tuned for more information. Hey family, it's time to move forward. Water baptism is likening unto the death and resurrection of Jesus. So when we are water baptized, we're dying to the flesh, to the old self. So when we come back up a new person, new creation, changed, transformed. So sign up today for water baptism, September 25th, for both first and second service. Don't miss this. This is your time.
That's next week, next Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We just got, can you believe that? We already finished Rock the City. How many of you were at Rock the City this week? Wow, is it amazing. 194 people made their lives right with Jesus Christ. That is a lot of people. I don't know about you. I'm excited. The gentleman that won the car is over here, sir, and his beautiful wife. Congratulations. Isn't that great? I just love blessing people all week long. And you know what was really cool? Somebody texted me and said, we can hear this all the way on Walnut and Mount Zor. That's a long ways. So we only had one complaint, and that in and of itself is an amazing miracle. We also want to welcome and thank all the volunteers in the room. If you volunteered for Rock the City, can you raise your hand? We want to honor you this morning. There were so many workers this week. Thank you so much. There was a man who came to me over near the hot dog area. Glory to God for the hot dog area. I believe the first night we gave out over 500 hot dogs. And he came over to me and he said, you know, I'm not a church-going guy. He said, but I've been in this neighborhood for 30 years. He said, and I made a decision that as it was continuing to go down and struggle, he said, we were not going to leave our home. And he said, I've been listening on my porch for 2 days. He said, I've got to come over and meet you. He said, my wife and I want to thank you and His Tabernacle Family Church for coming to our neighborhood. And I know this. We have changed a neighborhood in the name of Jesus. And I believe next year we're going to have to do 2 weeks. We're going to have to do 2 weeks. We're going to go and we're going to go 2 weeks. We're going to do two. Wow, that's a long time. What am I saying? That's so much work. We're going to need more of you. Amen. You know one of the things you find about when you start working for the Lord? Man, it is more fulfilling than sitting home and watching television. When you start doing things for Jesus, you just get fulfilled in your spirit. Because that's the nature of your Father. The nature of your Father is, for God so loved the world that He gave. So the more you give, the more He gives you. So I want to encourage you, next year as we do this, don't just sit by. And you know, we do outreaches all year long. We're getting ready in the month of November. We'll be in 2 parades in the month of November. We'll also be doing, I believe, what's that one that they do up in Corning? What's that? Parade of Lights. Not the parade, the other thing. Sparkle. We go to Sparkle. And we do right here in the town of Horseheads, we do holidays. So if you'd like to help, we'd encourage you to participate with outreach. It'll change your life. So many of us are so self-absorbed that we will not understand what happens to us until we start giving. You are who you are because God has a plan for you to give, not just to take. You've been placed on this planet to fulfill a need and a problem. That's why you're here. And so when you start meeting that need, wow, your whole life changes. It's so exciting. So we want to thank all of you. The finances, everything was paid for. The Shuttlesworths were awesome. They came in and, what did Carolyn say?
Just how blessed she was by the people of His Tabernacle Family Church. And that was the response I even heard as I spoke to so many from the community, is how awesome you all are. Thank you so much.
Come on, give yourselves a hand clap. You got to realize what you did. You enabled the kingdom of God to move forward and to take the city back. Amen?
Yes, amen.
I just love that. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. We're so blessed that you're here. We always encourage all guests to come a minimum of 3 times. Turn to someone and say, 3. Not just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but 3. We do that for the reason of making sure that you recognize that maybe the first week it's a little bit different than what you're used to. By the second week, you get a little bit more acclimated. By the third week, you could never go back to the quiet church. Hallelujah. We're trying to mess you up for heaven because heaven's not going to get quiet. It's going to be an exciting time when you see Jesus face to face. How many of you can't wait to see Jesus face to face? It's going to be awesome. And so you're not going to go, hi. You're going to rejoice because the one who washed your sins away is right with you. So today we just want to welcome all the guests. If you're a first-time guest, we have a little packet for you. We'd love to bless you with it. First-time guest, if you'll raise your hand, they're going to bring it to you. We're not going to make you stand up, do weird things. First-time guest, raise your hand. We have folks coming right to you in your chair. Oh, very good. There's more folks. More. Look at them all. Very good young lady right there with Howard. A young person right there with Howard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? First-time guests. Gentlemen right behind. There you go. First-time guests. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being here. Remember, 3 times. We also want to welcome all of our online family, our online campus. And that is, there are people all over the world right now watching where we are in Horseheads, New York. Can we give our online campus a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being with us. Listen, I challenge you, if you're local, make it down to the house of God. It's a lot more powerful in-house than just online. Thank God for online, but this is where you'll sense a stronger anointing, and it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So I'd encourage you to get here. And everybody else, all over, we know California every week is here. We know Florida every week is here. We just thank you all for watching all over the world. Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
We're entering into the time of the service for tithes and offerings. And we enter into this time with such great joy. As His Tabernacle Family Church, you're incredible givers. And we love to be a generous church. The Word of God tells us to bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And the tithe, the word tithe, simply means 10%. It's God's word. So why do we enter into this time joyfully? Because it's our opportunity to honor God, the one who gives us everything, that everything came from, that gives us our gifts and our talents. So it's our joy to honor God in his word by bringing our whole tithe to the storehouse. And the other reason why we give is that so there is more than enough for every good work. And wow, his tabernacle, you are so faithful to every good work. So we give in this house to honor God and to give towards every good work so that we can bring the kingdom of God to our region and see lives changed and transformed, just like we were able to participate with all week long. I had somebody come up to me and say, I don't know what we're going to do next week now. Thank you so much for being a giving church and for honoring God with your finances. As we prepare to give, stand to your feet with me. We make a supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's God's word. It says, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Stay in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never
Good morning, everyone. Well, we got a treat for you this morning. The kids are getting ready to sing, but we have a couple of things we want to show you because we want you to be a part of what they're going to do. Today, the kids are going to do something. We're going to try it again. We're going to be putting dancing and singing together, but we're going to need your help, okay? So we're gonna say a certain word called submerge, but let me teach you the dance step first. You're gonna go like this, and you gotta swim. One, two, and then one, two, dip, and then come up. All right? Now if you got kids up here, you gotta really encourage your kids, all right? Once again, you're gonna say one, two, then one, two, dip, come up. All right, now I need you to stand up because I know some of you all struggle with rhythm, so we're gonna try to help you out, okay? If anybody hits you, it's not on purpose, we're just moving in Jesus' name, okay? Just say Jesus' name and they won't hit you, okay? Or we'll put Jason on them and then take them out. All right, here we go. You ready? This way first. One, two, ready, and one, swim, two, swim, one, two, dip, down, and up. Now you're gonna chew gum and walk at the same time. Oh my God. It's about to get crazy. Someone protect Pastor, okay? You're going to say the word submerge real long as you go. Kids, let's show them how we're going to do it. Start this way. One, two, ready, and submerge. Again, submerge. Practice again. Go. Submerge. One more time. Submerge. Every time we say that word submerge, I want you to sing, all right? Give it up for the kids.
Give it up for the children. Hallelujah. We'd like to thank Pastor Johnson's been working with the children. Also, we'd like to thank Miss Brenda Ostrander. Many of you might not know her. She's in charge of all of our children's ministries at the church. She literally, not figuratively, pastors one of the largest churches in our entire region. She oversees over 270 children a month just on Sundays. That is awesome. That doesn't include Wednesday night, which is over 100 more children. So we just want to thank her for doing such a powerful work. Listen, isn't it amazing? That's a lot of children, isn't it? But the great part is we're not babysitting. We're training these young men and these young women up to know how to pray, to know how to move in the power of God, get them born again, spirit-filled. Why? Because the church of tomorrow is right now. So what we want this church to be in 10 years is who they have to become. So we're believing, God, that the supernatural will never leave this house. Amen? Now, we also want you to know that she always can use more workers. The Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, which means this. You all may be seated, which means this. Brother Chris, you can too. No, I'm just kidding. I love Brother Chris. She wants you all to stand up and dance Submerge. Oh, yeah, if you can stand up and do that song, Submerge, you can help in the children's ministry. But we want you to know this, is that just being part of the children's ministry of this church isn't saying, well, I just want to. But we want you to know the protection of our children is extremely important. To become a worker in children's ministry is a 7-page application, as well as we do a police background check on you. And you also have to have references that come in, because we believe the safety of the children is the number one priority. Can I hear an amen? The children are a priority of this house. And so I just want to say thank you so much for Brenda. If you'd like to participate and work in the kingdom of God, help raise up the next generation of powerful men and women, then I'd encourage you to go out to the His Kids table right after service while you're getting your salad. For those who are new, that means ice cream. While you're getting your salad, it's an ice cream social today right after church. And make sure you sign up, get your application, and get involved to raise the next generation of men and women of God. There's nothing more powerful than investing in the future. Amen? We love you. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Can you give her a hand clap this morning? My wife and I are going to do something that we rarely do, and that is we're going to team preach. Pretty much, I don't think, how many were here when we did the whole series on, oh, we got video. Here we go. I'm sorry, sometimes I forget my responsibilities.
Fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonders. Let your love run over.
Isn't it crazy how quickly a year has gone by? You know, I'm amazed. Well, actually, this is from last year. This isn't even all this year. This is from last year. Because every single year we do a series on Welcome Home Sunday. Because as you know, and the importance of recognizing Welcome Home Sunday is recognizing how so many believers no longer understand the purpose called church. I would really appreciate if we could talk to the lighting ministry, if you could do it exactly the way you had it first service. Thank you. It is important for us to recognize that many believers don't understand church. Their mindset of church is simply, well, you know, I go to church on a Sunday, I pop in, I pop out. But today I want to talk to you, my wife and I want to talk to you about something, since this is Welcome Home Sunday, about literally understanding what home means. You see, I've been blessed with three children. And one of the main priorities of our house is hanging out with our family. You know, one of the things I found is that as I've talked to older people, I love chatting with older people, especially older people that have been very successful in business. And I always ask them, if you could change one thing in your life, what would that be? And every one of them pretty much always says the same thing. And it's this: if I could change one thing, they would say, it would be to spend more time with my family and less time at work. The truth is that there's always more work, but you don't always have enough time with your family. I've always kept this as a priority for our own blood family, where I'm talking like we sometimes, my wife will say to me, our children have exceeded their call limit today. Our children call us all the time. They talk to us all the time. And boy, we love it. Why? Because we have always emphasized family. In fact, on a Sunday right after church, especially when the kids were in high school, we would have no less than 30 people filling our house after every Sunday afternoon, especially during football season. Now it's still kind of quieter. It's only like 20. But our family comes over every single Sunday after church. And then what happens is every Wednesday night, we have something called family night, where our family's always expected to come over, and my wife cooks, and the kids sit down, and we all just laugh, and they play cards, and Mindy and I go watch our John Wayne movies in the living room, because we don't play games, do we? No, we don't do the game thing. And so, you know, it's family. And then every Friday morning, we go out, and we have a family breakfast. Family is so important. And what's happened in the body of Christ, some of the changes that have occurred is we have made church a religious organization and have stepped away from the plan of God, which is family. God created a family, not a church religious organization. Can I hear an amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 says this: now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Turn to someone and say, you're part of the family of God. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, today being Welcome Home, I want to talk to you about lifestyle. The lifestyle of making God's house your home, not just a place you go to church.
We don't come in here as a job or an occupation. Pastor and I, we come in here as if this were our family. Every week when we come in, it's our joy to love on and share God's word with every single one of you. So for us, this isn't a job. This isn't something we're hired to do. This is something we love to do.
Family is so powerful because that's where you find your strength, and that's where you find that you grow and that you mature. And what's occurred is that I have a buddy of mine that's out in Portland, Oregon, and he has a church of 6,000, and every Sunday they run 3,500 to 4,000. And you might be saying, wow, that's great numbers, but actually, that's almost half of the body of Christ missing every single Sunday. He said, I have to preach the same message for 5 weeks in a row to have every one of them hear the same message where we're going. And something's happened in the church world. Something's happened in the body of Christ where we become more church-oriented than family-oriented. We become more church-goers than we become home-goers. And God wants to transition because simply his passion is family. His passion is not having an organization. You and I are the church. We are the house of God. The Spirit of God lives and dwells inside of us. And you see, he has called us to come home just like my family does 3 times a week, dear Lord. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes around 9 p.m. I look at my wife and say, will they ever leave? Because they love being around the family. But what's interesting is, one time, Corinne had a thing that she was doing on a Wednesday night. And I looked at my wife and I said, where's Corinne? She said, well, she's got this thing she's doing. And it really bothered me. I wasn't mad at Corinne, but it really bothered me that she wasn't there. Why? Because my family wasn't home. You see, when church is seen as a religious organization, and in the New Testament, it wasn't seen that way. When it's seen as a religious organization, then we have to keep track of where everybody is. We have to take attendance, and we have to make sure you get a 3-week letter or a 4-week letter. Or Pastor Dan's ministry has to reach out to you and say, are you lost? Are you dying? What is happening with your life? But you see, when it's family, it changes everything. It's not the same. In the New Testament, what's amazing is that they didn't have to have follow-up teams because they were all part of the family of God. And what we want to see happen at His Tabernacle Family Church, as it's always been propelled, and we don't want to, listen, I don't ever want to be part of statistics. I want us to be the plot of heaven. I want us to see. I want us to be the plan of the book of Acts. And that is that we're all family. And listen, we might not always like each other. Can I hear an amen? You might not always like the person sitting next to you. Can I hear an amen? But you're still family. How many of you always like your blood family? How many of you have argued with your brother or sister? How many ever argued with your cousins? How many get along with your mom and dad every day? No way. That's family. That's family. And God is calling the body of Christ back to family, the household of faith. We are the family of God. It's not a religious place that we all just plot ourselves on a Sunday morning, do our 2-hour business, and everybody heads home. But it's where we grow. It's where we mature. Listen, I'm having serious trouble with this chair. I keep twisting. One thing, are you done? She really is a sick woman, honestly. The one thing is when you start having a family is you start recognizing that you automatically, the wife doesn't start giving birth and she births a 20-year-old. It's hard enough at an 8-pound baby. Never buy a 180-pound baby. We start off as babies, and in this house, the house of God, there are always babies, new Christians. The Bible says that we're called as babies in Christ, and we grow together. You see, the important part about home and the important part about family is that we create the atmosphere for the babies to be taken care of properly. We create the atmosphere to when they need to be fed, they can be fed, and changed, they can be changed, and loved, they can be loved. And then you have babies that grow up, and they become toddlers, like my granddaughter. My granddaughter is so cute. And we're watching it, you know, with the family, we're watching her mature. It's really, really neat listening to her talk, man. She's not even 2 years old. And the other day, I'm laying on the couch in the living room, and all of a sudden from the kitchen, I hear, Michael, come here. I said, did she really say that? Michael, come here. Well, my name's not Michael. My name's Grampy, which she can't say, so she calls me Bampy. I was expecting a Bampy come here. No, Michael. Why is that? It's because as a baby is growing in the house, what ends up happening is they start parroting the parents. So when a baby's not in the house of God and they're out in the world, the only thing they get used to parroting is the things of the world and not the house of God. You see, when we see this as just a religious organization that we go to appease our emotion or to go when we can find our time and be convenient at it, then we miss the whole plan of God. God, when we get to heaven, we're going to be married to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. It's not that we're just, hey, how are you? This is family. You know, our children, and Sophia's going to grow up and be an adolescent, which are usually just pain in the rear ends. You know, they're running all over the place. No, they really are. I could never do children's ministry. Then they grow into teenagers who really know more than everybody else on the planet. Then they become young adults, and in young adulthood, what they find is that they're just trying to figure out where their feet can firmly be planted. They're really not even sure what ends up, the elbow from their fanny. And then you have adulthood. And you see, this is where every adult plays a large part in being part of the family of God and being home. And this is what the devil works so desperately to destroy, is that the household of God becomes the religious visitation. And the Lord is saying, listen, I want my house to be seen as a home. You know, the Bible talks about this is that growth process. And we've been talking about next steps and how step number one is foundational and step number two is building and step number three is expanding and step number four is fulfilling or adulthood. Listen, we so desperately desire at His Tabernacle Family Church, not for you just to come to church, but truly that you will grow up in Christ and become everything that God has planned for you. You are so imperative and important to the plan of God. Please don't let yourself get caught in the cog of religious visitation.
Amen. Pastor, when you were saying that about babyhood to adulthood, coming to maturity and getting involved in next steps, I've noticed throughout the years that it doesn't matter how long you've been at church. Maturity has nothing to do with if you've been here 18 years or if you've been here 1 year. There are people that get saved and have a true encounter with God, and they get so excited, and they just plug in. They get connected. They go to every class that they can, and they are quickly brought to maturity. And then there's others that maybe have been here 18 years and haven't gone through any furthering steps and are still in a baby or toddler mentality. So it doesn't matter how long you've been here. The process of maturity is just getting plugged in and getting involved in those next steps.
My wife and their family used to do foster care. And they received two brothers, right? They were two brothers, right? One boy. And this boy came, and the parents abused this child. They gave him Coke in his bottle, and the child never left the crib. Never left the crib. How old? Five? 5 years old. Had still never left the crib. And when they received this child, that child had never walked. The child's teeth were all rotted. And the child just couldn't even talk. You see, when that child was in their home within how long, Ron?
Just a few months.
Just a few months, that child started to walk. That child started to talk. Because we're all looking for that love and acceptance. And what happens is we've got to know that this is God's house and God is love. And that when we're in this place, it's not just sitting and coming and leaving and waving at two people that you've never met before and maybe remembering somebody's name. But we've got to get involved. This was a lifestyle when I was growing up as a child. Listen, I honestly don't really remember everybody who is my blood. Aunt Quitney can be a witness. Everybody was uncle and aunt. Uncle Gary, I don't think he was ever my uncle. Was he my uncle? Was Uncle Gary a blood uncle? No, he was not. Uncle Gary was not my blood uncle. I wouldn't know that. Aunt Rose, and go through the list of them. Because we called everybody aunt and uncle because it was a family thing. Some of you never had family. Some of you never had a healthy family. And God's house is called to be a healthy family. You know, we've got one God, and Jesus is the head of the church, and the Bible says that we have one Father, and that's Abba Father. That's our heavenly Father. But yet he has placed spiritual parents here on this planet. The Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. You see, my wife and I don't, like she was saying, don't see this as a job. This is the awesome privilege of being spiritual parents to people and investing in lives and seeing. Listen, sometimes that's not always fun. How many of you ever got a spanking from your parents? How many of you just got sent to the corner? I got that too. How many got sent to your bedroom? I got that too. How many had things taken away? I got that too. I was a bad child. But discipline is what makes you strong. And the Bible says that even as spiritual parents, preach the word, be in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when you no longer will endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You know, I had somebody one time, they came and they simply said to me, actually, usually it's usually by text, by the way, I'm leaving the church. And you automatically know that they don't get it. They don't get it. To them, it's, well, you know, that's the building I go to. I see myself as a spiritual father, as a spiritual investor. Because honestly, no one could hire me. You don't got enough money. I can't be bought. This is about loving people. It's about loving God's people. And I have no question, my wife and I being completely on the same page, we love watching people grow and become who God's called them to be. From babyhood to maturity, there's nothing more exciting.
And when we come to the house of God, it's like coming to the family table, the family dinner table. And when someone's missing, it's not just, oh, well, to us. It's, wow, one of our family members isn't here at the table. So our heart just loves pastoring and being spiritual parents in this house. I want to read a scripture to you, and it is in Acts 2, verse 42, and it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It is so important to get connected to the household of God, to the kingdom of God. You see, when we get saved, it is like getting connected to the life source. We then begin to flourish and produce fruit and prosper in everything that we do. But something has happened in modern culture. We get saved. We feel the life source coming through. We begin to produce fruit. But yet in modern culture, we come to church 2 hours a week. We just come to church 2 hours a week, and then all week long, no more. And a tree that is not connected to the life source, like this passage is saying, continue steadfastly, not 2 hours a week. That is religion. God came for relationship. Relationship is 24/7. It is every day of the week. If we are coming 2 hours a week, there is no life in us. And maybe we come for that 2 hours and we feel a little bit of life coming into us, but then we promptly leave and it's just religion. And that is a dead branch. We want to stay connected, remain in the life source, and do not remove your, the culture that I grew up in, like Pastor said, it is our life. Church is our life. It's not a religious duty. I'm going to my Father's house to be with my family. It is where I get the life flow, the life source that I can produce roots and fruit and prosper in everything that I do. Now, something else can happen as we're growing in the kingdom of God and we're attached to the life source. You know, crazy aunt so-and-so or crazy uncle so-and-so or maybe your brother or your sister or even your father or your mother says something that offends you or hurts you. And so you decide, well, I'm just not going to be a part of that any longer. You see this green branch? It'll stay green for a little bit, but do not be deceived. If you cut yourself off and don't continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship, it will die. It will die. We have got to remain in. And sometimes it's even in the form of the word of God. Abba, Father, the things he says that we don't like, that don't line up with our flesh, that cause us to want to cut ourselves off. But there is death in those branches that are cut off. Remain in. Continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, no matter what. There is only one time that you should remove yourself from a tree, and that is if the tree is unhealthy. Now, let me qualify what unhealthy is. If it has green leaves and it has strong roots and it is producing fruit, it is healthy. No matter what you feel. If we cut ourselves off based on feelings because our brother or our sister or even Abba Father, what he said, if we cut ourselves off, then we're dry and brittle and broken. Don't cut yourself off. Be planted, like Psalms 1:3 says. Pastor, can you read that passage to us?
Should be like a tree that's planted by the water, who will bring forth its fruit in due season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
That is the desire of every one of us, and that is maturity. And the only way to get to maturity is not 2 hours a week, every other week, every third week. It is being connected. It is serving and getting planted in Daddy's household. Stay connected to the house of God.
That's one of the things that really bothered me about my children growing up was, now there's no one to do the garbage but me. I hate that. But you know, it's important to recognize that when my children are home, they all had a job to do. They all had a part to participate with. And you see, that brings family all together. When we all work together to get the common goal done. And in the house, that's normal. But in church, that's not normal. And God wants to bring his normalcy back to the body of Christ. In this Welcome Home Sunday, our passion was simple. And it wasn't to stand up here and just preach at you, but to really share our hearts with you about the desire to see God's kingdom come, his will be done, to really see what God's heart is be manifested in a church building. For God is love. And even though you don't always get along with somebody, we can love each other. You know, if my children just skipped a meal, say we had a family meal, and they just didn't show up. Well, first of all, the first thing I'm going to do is call them. Where are you? I remember one time I made a spaghetti dinner. My wife was working full time, and my children were in sports, and one of them was working. And so I made a spaghetti supper, and I worked really hard. Now, you got to understand, my children mock me all the time because the only thing I can make is spaghetti. And so I made a spaghetti dinner, and I remember I set the table with the best china, you know, spaghetti. I set it with the best china, put the best glasses out, and I took the spaghetti, and I put it on the big platter, and I put oregano over it, and a little bit of mozzarella cheese, and made it look really beautiful because supper's at 5. Well, 5:10, nobody's there. Well, I'm getting a little miffed. I got on the phone. I said, Rhonda, where are you? She says, I won't be home for another 45 minutes. I got stuck here at work. Cody's at football. Chad's at work. And I don't know where Corinne was. She was at cheerleading. So here I am, sitting at the table. All by myself. You know, many times we forget that this is home. And that every time a message is preached, it's supper time. And supper, I was taught this in Bible college. You don't just come to eat, you come to share. whenever you come to a supper table. And this is where we have relationship and we get to meet new people and build each other and strengthen each other. You are so important here. Please don't allow it to be just a religious visitation. Please allow this to become your home where you grab a hold of the vision and you run in the vision and you grab a hold of a responsibility, you fulfill a responsibility. You love people, build people, strengthen people. As you're growing from babyhood to adulthood, you will so impact so many lives, just as we did this week down and made a footprint for God in Elmira. You're important, and this is home, not just a religious building.
We have a testimony that we want to share with you today of what happens when you remain connected in God. Dustin, are you here? This is a testimony of an awesome transformed life.
Hi. Apparently, some people know me. I've been going to this church for 11 years. 11 years? Over a decade. It's crazy. I feel old. Before I came here, I was a teenager. And as such, I was very confused about who I was supposed to be. And I can remember waking up every morning, and I had this question in my mind, and it was just one word. Why? You know, seriously, like I'm doing this again? Like why am I doing this? And I started playing drums at a very young age. I had a lot of anger issues. And what I would do for 2 hours straight every day is just beat the tar out of them. There was no rhythmic pattern. There was nothing. It was just noise. And then I had this thought, maybe I should channel this rage, literal rage, and teach myself something. Little did I know that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And a number of years later, my cousin Trevor, his brother Ryan's over there, he was the loud one saying woo. they invited me to church. And I was not of a very big church background. I never had a dad growing up, so I saw God as an abandoned concept. So I came to church, and I had like black hair, long bangs. I was doing this a ton because it was in my face. And I projected an image on the church. I said, they're going to treat me like garbage, you know, and all this stuff. And they didn't. And I'd never had that before because at school I was bullied and all this other stuff. I'm not going to get into that. But when I came to church, they accepted me. I came to church to play drums, and they said, okay, you can play drums. Well, let's see you play. And I played, and they liked it. And in the first song I played, I heard God say, you're home. I didn't know what that was because I woke up every day saying, why? You know, does anybody... Can anybody like respond to that? I would just wake up saying, why? And God said, you're home. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, give it a week. Give it 2 weeks. Give it 3 weeks. And I did. And I've made phenomenal relationships here. But the best one is with Jesus. Okay? But I met my best friend in the world and my beautiful wife, Emily, the night that I got saved. And, yeah, she's my favorite. She's awesome. And you're a stud. And a few years later, I began ministry here, and I've been in ministry for like 8 years. I do work with Uproar. And if you, I'll just leave you with this because I want ice cream. I didn't get any first service, so I want some. And it's a dangerous statement, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm not gonna swear, I promise. If you take God seriously, He takes you seriously. Okay, and there's two different things that you can say. Well, what do you have? Or what do you have for me? He'll take you seriously if you take him seriously.
Amen. He's one of our boys.
Dustin is an awesome man of God, has an incredible job. I mean, just remembering when he first came to where he is now, wow, a transformed life, a leader in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Dustin.
Amen. And it wasn't that easy. I mean, he was a pain in the rear end sometimes. But as a spirit, it's true. Tell the truth. Don't lie. I don't want you to go to hell. But this is where spiritual parenting comes in. Sometimes I had to correct him. And he didn't like that. But a parent that doesn't love their child enough to correct them doesn't love their child. And see, this is home. And we pray that you will experience home. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. I know this is a very different type of service. I think the last time we did this was probably 7 or 8 years ago. But our passion is to see you take these next steps from fulfilling, expanding, growing all the way from your foundation. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's where you start. You start by becoming part of the family of God. The Bible says that Jesus will give you the right to be called a child of God. That means salvation. And today, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that he loves you. And he doesn't want you to become a part of an organization. He wants you to come home. He, just like that prodigal son, some of you have walked away from the Lord many years ago. You love God. Listen, you love God a certain way, but you don't love him the way you used to. He said, I want you to come home. Come home. Love me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I have great things for you. Do you remember when that boy came home? He'd gone out taking his dad's money, spent everything that he had on wild living and partying and drinking and women. And he had nothing left, so he started eating from the pig trough. And he said, I'd rather, listen, if I go home, even though I'd be a slave in my dad's house, it'd be better than eating pig slop. So he started on his way home, and the Bible says when his father saw him away far off, he didn't go, yeah, see, told you the kid would be back crawling on his hands and knees. No. The father ran to him. Embraced him. Today, if you know that your life's not right with the Lord, maybe you've never accepted him, or maybe you're just not right with Jesus. Jesus is calling you home. Come home. Come home. I'm sure that when the prodigal son came, he didn't have great clothes on, or his father wouldn't have had to put a nice one on him. Might even have smelled like pigs. But I want you to know, no matter how you smell, no matter how you look, he loves you. He loves you. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you're not right with the Lord and you want to get right with God, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. If you need Christ, I see that hand all the way in the back. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? You just want to make your life right with the Lord. Very good, young man. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Come on. You want to make your life right with the Lord. You know it. You're not sure if you died today, if you go to heaven. You want to know that you know that you know. Not going to wait much longer. Let's all stand to our feet. Oh, pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. Oh, pastor, I just feel disconnected from the church. Oh, pastor, I just don't feel the same way I used to about the church. I think we're going to try out another one. Listen, you can't feel connected if you're not connected. The more you come, the more you invest, the more you receive. I challenge you to be people that don't do house visitations, but make God's house your home. Amen. For those who raise their hand for salvation, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to get your heart right with the Lord, I want you to meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Grab the person next to you and say, listen now, I need to get right. Go, come on, grab them and bring them right up on here. Oh, there you go. No one even had to grab you. Proud of you. Proud of you. You both getting right with the Lord? Or you brought them? You're a smart boy. There was another individual way in the back. I just pray that you'll be brave and come forward. Maybe you're sitting there today and you know it, man. You're just not right with Jesus and you need to come home. Grab the person next to you if you have to. Make your way up here right now. Come on. Come on right now. Listen, you're saying, oh my goodness, in front of everybody. Listen, this is what family's all about, isn't it? Dear Lord, how many of you have messed up in your life? How many messed up twice in your life? How many still messed up? All right, that's what the altar's for. We need each other. Nobody's better than anybody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray. Oh, amen. Hi, baby girl. I love you so much. Proud of you. Can we pray? Pray right out loud. I'd like everyone to pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me all my life. And his is being very short life. Lord, all of my life I have known I needed you. And right now, I receive you. Forgive me my sin. I need you more than ever before. I want to be that son and daughter. I want to be that person that is called your child. And so right now, I receive you. And so right now, I'm clean. I'm pure. I'm your child. I'm changed. And I'm never going back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. I'm proud of you. Can you welcome him to the family? You know what dumb pride is? Dumb pride is knowing you got to do something, you don't do it. Just because you care. You know, I love you, woman of God. That was brave. That was brave. Some of you need to be brave and get right with Jesus. Amen. I love you. Guess what? There's ice cream out in the foyer. Glory to the Lord. Make sure you get to meet at least a few people that you don't know. Please don't be a snob, okay? Can you promise me you won't be a snob today? Don't be a snob. Go meet somebody you don't know. Shake their hands. Don't throw ice cream or nothing. But there are colored sprinkles out there. There's caramel. There's chocolate. There's a bunch of good stuff. Have fun. I love you. We'll see you out there in just a few minutes.